This is tape number 11, principle 4, attend to the obvious. Attending to what is obviously going on in the moment and over time in our relationships, in our processes, and in our criteria for settlement will tell us when we need to remove blocks in our negotiations and will enable us to focus on the real issues that need to be addressed. Refer to handout number 18 in your booklet.
Let's talk about the fourth principle. Attending to the obvious is an important principle because it does two things for us. Again, like the other principles, it gives us a means of knowing, a process, a model for knowing how to remove the blocks when they occur, how to never get stuck with another person. And this principle also enables us to identify, to get to the real issues in our negotiations with others. So as you raise the questions for yourself in different scenarios, in different situations, how do I get unstuck? How do I know what the blocks are? And what ways do I have to identify what the real issues are? This is a principle that enables you to do it. There's a catch in this principle, and that is that this is a principle that we really only do effectively, we can only do well, when we're in generative thinking. And that's why we are talking about it after generative thinking. It's a principle that we can only do well when we trust ourselves enough that we can afford to listen to and understand others. That we trust ourselves enough that we don't get lost in lower level emotions, but rather are able to both be in situations and observe ourselves in the situations at the same time. Attending to the obvious requires that we have that third person observer sitting on our shoulder, so that while we're intimately engaged in whatever the negotiation or interaction is with another person, that there's a part of us that's watching ourselves and watching the other person, that's observing what's going on in ourselves and others, in our relationships, in our processes, and in our criteria for settlement. This principle relates back to the third principle, or the second principle we talked about, shift your focus. What is it that we attend to, obviously, in our interactions with others? Well, it's really six things. It's what's going on in our relationship. It's whether or not we feel, in fact, safe, respectful, and resolved with one another. It's secondly, attending to the obvious, secondly, has to do with paying attention to what's going on in our process and when our process is safe, fair, and effective. When we're moving towards resolution, or when we're moving towards getting stuck with each other, and knowing that when we are moving towards getting stuck, that we can stop and back out of it and do something different. Attending to the obvious, thirdly, means being aware of what the external standards and criteria are that apply to the subject we're talking about, and being aware of when we don't have agreement about those issues. It means obviously being aware of what we need and what other people need and making sure that what we're talking about is going to meet those needs. Attending to the obvious, therefore, also means, fourthly, paying attention to what's going on within me, what I'm feeling, what the dialogue is going on in me, and how that's affecting what I'm doing and not doing. And fifthly, it means being aware of others, observing their behavior, what they're doing and not doing, and how their behavior changes, or when they become resistive or defensive. Being aware of when it no longer feels like we're on the same side of the table. Being aware of what others need. And finally, sixthly, attending to the obvious means paying attention to patterns that are going on in the moment, or patterns that have gone on over time. So attending to the obvious essentially means paying attention to what is immediately, obviously going on, or paying attention to what is going on over time in terms of patterns. Paying attention to what's not working. That's what attending to the obvious is about. It's paying attention to what's not working. It's paying attention to what the obvious blocks are that are preventing us from doing what we need to do, and preventing us from getting the agreement and cooperation and commitment that we want from others. That's preventing us from reaching resolution. If everything's working fine, we don't need to be attentive. If we're getting commitment and resolution, it's not important. But this principle is important. I engage this principle when it's not working, when I'm getting stuck, when we're going in the wrong direction, when we're getting frustrated. That's when I need to attend to the obvious, to pay attention to what's obviously going on in me, in them, in our patterns, in our relationships, in our processes, or in our criteria for settlement. Let's look for a moment at each of those. What do I need to pay attention to in me? Well, I need to pay attention to, again, to what the dialogue is going on in me and what I'm feeling. If I'm feeling overwhelmed or hopeless or cynical, I may not be acting at all because I don't believe it'd make any difference. Or if I'm saying to myself, I don't think it'll make any difference, or I don't think they respect me, or I don't think they're going to listen to me, or I think that they will beat me verbally, or I think they'll run over me, or I don't think other people will agree with me if I say it out loud. If I have beliefs that set me up to make it difficult or make me believe it's not possible, if I have beliefs and related emotions that are preventing me from acting or causing me to act in ineffective or causing me to act in overly defensive, overly aggressive ways, then I need to be aware of what's going on in me. I need to be aware of whether or not my beliefs are really reality grounded, or whether or not I'm looking at the whole picture, or whether or not I'm carrying old experiences and applying them to this situation and not testing out what's possible here. I need to be aware of when I obviously cannot imagine the possibility of something different, and so I'm getting stuck in what's been true in the past. So when that's true, when I catch myself stopping myself because I don't believe it's possible, or I don't believe it'll work, or I don't believe in other people, or I don't believe there are any options in the situation, then I need to challenge that myself. And I may need to go check it out with others. I may need to go find a safe ear to talk to about what I'm saying to myself and what I'm feeling to see whether or not I'm looking at the whole picture. I may need to go find a resource to help me imagine the possibility of something different. And I may need to check it out with the person with whom I'm negotiating. I may need to go say to them, I need to say this to you, and I'm afraid that you're going to get angry and attack me. I need a commitment from you that you won't do that. Whatever my fears are, I need to negotiate those up front so that I can remove those and move on to the topic that I need to address. I may be, for example, afraid to approach my boss. You know, I may be in a situation where I'm reporting to someone in an organization and there are things that I'm trying to accomplish and get done that what makes sense to me is that I need to report to my boss's boss. And that may seem real threatening to go to my boss and say, I want to be a peer with you. I want to report to your boss because that'll give me the credibility and it'll give me the contacts and it'll give me the flexibility to really be effective in getting done what I'm trying to get done, getting done what my job is. And if I'm afraid that my boss is going to see that as threatening or as attack or as a rejection of him or her, I may need to address that first. If there's been some history of conflict between us and I'm afraid that they're carrying anger with me, I may need to address that. If I'm afraid that they won't listen to me, I may need to address that first. So I may need to go to my boss and say, there's something I need to talk about, and it's something that I need, I think, and I think is good for the organization. And I need to be clear that in what I need, I'm not saying anything about you, but rather I'm coming to you asking for your help. I need for you to hear me and to try to understand what I'm saying. So go and get the other person's commitment. Get them enlisted on your side. Get them committed to listening to you and being willing to try to understand you. If you're afraid that they're going to be in a posture of being opposed to you or trying to be right. So the first step of attending to the obvious is to listen to what's going on in you and to listen to how you're stopping yourself from doing what you obviously need to be doing. Secondly, we need to be aware of others. We need to be aware of what we know about others from the past that would give us insight into understanding what they need and what we need to do to be effective with them in the present. We need to be observant of what other people are doing and not doing, of how their voice changes, of how they become more self-protective or more open, and what they're telling us they need. My experience is that other people tell us all the time what they need, and oftentimes we throw it away. We ignore it. They tell us quite explicitly what they need. I had an experience not too long ago where I had a house for sale, and I was selling it myself, and a realtor called me and said, I think I have a buyer for your house, and I want to know whether or not you'll give me a one-time pocket listing to make this deal. And I said, yes, I'd be interested in doing that, and we need to negotiate what a fair and appropriate commission would be. That I don't think a full 7% commission is fair, since you haven't had to list the house and you haven't had any expenses, and since I've already gone through a lot of marketing of the house, is that it seems to me that one criteria would be the fact that if it were sold on a multiple listing and somebody else already had the listing, such as I have this listing, that you would get half of the commission, or you'd get 3.85, whatever it is. So I would propose that I would pay you a 4% commission, and that would be a fair commission. And he got very angry on the phone and said, you know, I'm really tired of people trying to take advantage of realtors. That's not what I'm used to. I won't be screwed by you. I take this personally. Well, what he instantly told me, this is someone that I'd known for less than 5 minutes on the telephone, was what he instantly told me was that, A, he was in scorekeeper thinking, and B, he somehow had linked this commission, which was a solution, what the amount of the commission should be. He had that linked somehow with his personal worth and value. So I very quickly was asking myself, well, you know, did I somehow seem pushy or harsh, or was I not respectful of him on the phone? And I wasn't sure, so I asked. I said, you know, I'm attending to the obvious. I'm kind of surprised at your response. I'm surprised, I guess, because I assumed that the criteria that I'm proposing seemed like reasonable criteria for me. And I'm surprised that by the process that you're not open or don't feel very conducive to exploring those criteria for me, of us talking this through and coming to some agreement, that I somehow instantly triggered you to be angry, and that it feels like somehow I don't personally respect and value you. And the person immediately launched in and told me about two or three examples he had where people had tried to take advantage of him. And so what was clear to me was that this was probably not a person that I wanted to do business with, that it was going to be difficult. And what he clearly told me was that he had strong needs around not being taken advantage of, that he had strong needs around feeling valued, and that was all tied up in what kind of commission people were willing to pay him, that it was sort of a test. I think people tell us what they need all the times, and in the course of doing that, sometimes what it tells us is that this is not a person that I want to be in relationship with. This isn't a person I want to do business with. And other times it tells us, well, this probably is somebody I want to do business with, and I need to figure out how to move through what they need to find a way to make this work for both of us. It tells us how much investment seems appropriate for us to make in the other party. So I need to pay attention to others. I need to pay attention to what is obviously going on in them and what they're obviously telling me that they need to make this safe for them, to make them feel worthwhile and valued, for them to have options, for them to feel connected with me, and for this to make sense to them. The third thing we need to observe, obviously, oftentimes are patterns. We have a tendency sometimes to focus on the immediate problem and not step back and recognize how the immediate incident we're dealing with is part of a pattern that's gone on over time. So there may be a pattern that when you try to give performance feedback to someone that they make excuses. Or there may be a pattern that when you enlist, go to somebody in a different department and try to solve a quality problem, that they get defensive and hear you as blaming them when that's not your intention. Or there may be a pattern of somebody being late or not, in fact, producing what they said they were going to produce. Or there may be a pattern of of issues not being resolved with another person, that you talk about it, but somehow it never really gets to closure. It's important that we step back and recognize the patterns that go on, both within ourselves, those patterns of what we do that don't work with others, such as I may recognize that I have a pattern of asking rhetorical questions that seems to make other people feel like they have to justify themselves. Or I may have a pattern of planning my defense while others are talking. Or I may have a pattern of being impatient or challenging what other people are saying instead of exploring it with them. So I need to be aware of my own patterns. I need to attend to what I obviously do that blocks me from getting other people's collaboration and commitment. And I need to be aware of the patterns in others and the pattern that goes on between me and others, that the patterns that don't work. And I need to address the patterns, not just the immediate example. So I may need to say to an employee who makes excuses that, you know, Kevin, I need, as your supervisor, to have some effective way to coach you. I need to be able to give you feedback when something doesn't work, both to correct the problem for the organization, but also to help you develop. Because I see my job being both to get the production done that our department's responsible for, but I also see it as my job to help you develop. That I owe that to you. That's part of my responsibility to you as a supervisor. But I can't fulfill either of those responsibilities if, when I come to give you data, to give you feedback, and to let you know the impact that something is having, if you make excuses and it's never your fault. I need to find some way to make it safe for you to hear what I need to tell you and for you to be able to take that in and be accountable for it. Because if I can't do that with you, I not only can't solve the immediate problem we have, but long term, I can't be a supervisor to you, and we're going to have to make some other decisions. And they may be decisions that neither one of us really want to have to activate. So I need to know, you know, what's obvious to me right now is because the pattern has been that I've experienced that you have a hard time taking in what I say, and that you tend to translate that into something else from my experience. I need to know what you hear me saying right now, and I need to know what you agree with and don't agree with. I need to know specifically what you hear me saying. So I need to address the pattern with the person, and I need to address the pattern very specifically. The third thing that we attend to, obviously, is what we talked about when we talked about shifting our focus, and that is that, again, oftentimes we obviously need to address our relationships with others. We need to address them, particularly when there's any conflict, when our relationship is distrustful or non-respectful or non-safe, when our relationship is getting in the way of doing what we need to do with each other. And fifthly, we need to address our processes when they're not working, when they're not effective, when we're not working in ways that people are going to agree with the results, we're not getting to results, when it's clear that we're getting farther away from each other rather than coming together, when it feels like we're on opposite sides of the table. I need to pay attention to what's obviously going on. And sometimes I don't know what's going on. Sometimes I'm not clear about it. So sometimes attending to the obvious is to say, you know, this isn't working and I'm not clear what's going on. Sometimes attending to the obvious means checking out what another person's shift in behavior means, because that's a change in process. Or it's checking out what somebody else's silence means. I need to know what your silence is saying. Attending to the obvious sometimes means saying to the other person, I'm confused. I don't know where to go from here. So it's stopping and addressing the process. I had an example about a year ago where we had had a product that we had produced that there was a problem with it. And I came back from a trip and found the product on my desk. And I had a whole set of assumptions that there was a quality checklist that had gone through and that the product had gone out a week before. And I was frustrated by it. I was angry about it. And I confronted one of my assistants about it. And she came back very defensively and said, you know, I'm tired of being blamed for everything around here. You know, you go changing your mind all the time, and I'm supposed to be able to know what you want. You know, in the first 30 seconds, we were hot and heavy at each other. And I was able to stop and What was obvious to me was that wasn't working and I needed to do something else. So I was able to pull back and say, you know, what's clear is that I haven't started this conversation well, that what I don't want to do here is beat you up and make you defensive. What I do want to do is both solve the immediate problem and fix whatever the problems are in our system so this doesn't happen again. So let's change our process. Instead of me telling you how angry I am, let's instead try to look at, you know, what happened in the production of this product to see if we can together identify what went wrong. And if there's any accountability that either of us have for that, figure out what we need to do differently and what we need to have others do differently so we can get this out to the client and we can figure out how not to do this again. So in doing that, I was addressing the process. I changed how we were approaching this issue. And in doing that, I was also addressing our relationship. I was, instead of attacking her, saying, let's find some way to do this together. That's attending to the obvious. It's being aware of when it doesn't work and finding a way to shift gears. And finally, attending to the obvious means sometimes, again, we need to address our criteria. I need to be aware when you and I aren't on the same page. I need to be aware when you and I don't agree upon the validity of the criteria we have before us, or when we haven't identified necessary criteria, when we haven't clarified who has what authority to make what decisions, so that decisions are falling through the cracks, or we're in disagreement about who has authority. I need to be aware of when you and I have different interpretations of what the terms are in the contract. Or I need to be aware of when we don't have a contract in place, or we don't have a clear job description, and we need to create those criteria. My experience is that if you will learn how to attend to the obvious, if you'll remind yourself, and sometimes you don't have the luxury of being able to do it ahead of time, but other times you know when a negotiation is going to be difficult. And sometimes I find it helpful just to make a note to myself on my pad, to attend to the obvious, so that I alert myself to pay attention to what's obviously going on in me and others, in our patterns, in our relationships, in our processes, and in our criteria for settlement. That I pay attention to when it's obviously not working. I pay attention to when we obviously have some block. And that enables me to identify the block when it occurs and to be able to melt it, to remove it. You know, our negotiations take place in force fields. And when there's a block occurs, what happens is that there's an opposing force field. If I don't recognize a block, I tend to just push against it, which of course creates more resistive force. What I need to do is be able to identify, to be conscious of, to name, obviously, what the block is, and to find ways to melt the block so that both I and the other person can go away being satisfied. So an example of attending to the obvious with an employee is listed in your booklet and handout number 18, of how I might address an issue with an employee of saying we need to talk about inventory control, and the person says, well, I don't have time. And so attending to the obvious says that I need to understand what time means, because we started off talking about inventory control and now we're talking about time. And that's very common in our conversations with others. In fact, that's usually what happens, that what we start off talking about is not everything that we need to talk about. It's not what we need to end up talking about. And if I will track what's obviously going on in our conversation, if I'll pay attention to what we're talking about now, not what we started with, if I'll pay attention to how the topic changes, I will get to the real issues that we need to talk about instead of missing them or walking around them. So if I say to you, I need to talk about inventory control, and you say, I don't have time, then time is my new topic. That now is what we're negotiating, because if I can't remove your time blockage, we can never get to solving the problem of inventory control. So I need to say to you, so help me understand what time means. Are you saying you don't have time this morning, don't have time today, never going to have time, you don't like my mother? What are you saying to me? Well, I don't know why I should talk about inventory control after what you did to me in the staff meeting yesterday. Oh, so now the topic isn't inventory control and it's not time. The topic is our relationship. as symbolized by what happened in the staff meeting yesterday. And if I'll keep paying attention to what you obviously say and do, or obviously say and don't do that I expect you to, we will get to the real issues that we need to talk about. We'll get to the real issues that we need to address and resolve with one another. So this is a very valuable principle. It helps me recognize the blocks that arise, and it helps me to track what we're really negotiating to get to the real issues that we need to address. Again, there is an application exercise to help you integrate and apply this principle in your own life. I refer you to worksheet number 19, and to give yourself the time to work through and to identify what it is that you obviously need to be doing to be effective to get the results that you need from others.
This is the end of tape 11.